I'm going to do lesson 48 in the workbook as a scenery. It's called There's Nothing to Fear. So take a breath and think to yourself right now that there's nothing to fear. 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 This idea for today simply states a fact. But that there's nothing to fear is not a fact to those who believe in their fears and their illusions. But your illusions, which are your fears, are not facts. In truth, there is nothing to fear. And it's very easy to recognize there is nothing to fear. It's very easy to recognize there's nothing to fear. But it's very difficult to recognize there's nothing to fear if you want that stuff you're going through to be true. If you want what you're going through that's upsetting you to be true, then it's not going to be easy for you to recognize that it's not real. So do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Happy. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
Happy.
So if you want to move in that direction, he says, today's practice periods will be very short, very simple, and very frequent. Just repeat this idea as often as possible. What idea? There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. You can use it with your eyes open. There is nothing to fear. 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 You can do it in any time, in any situation, so I think this qualifies. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. Well, if there's nothing to fear, don't be afraid to look at each other and tell each other there's nothing to fear. Look at each other and tell each other there's nothing to fear. Look at each other and tell each other, then you'll see whether you're lying or not. I know. Let's make the decision that we didn't come to a oneness class to be separate.
Oh dear.
That we're gonna actually act like all of us actually exist, and we're here, and we'll look at each other and interact with each other. We'll actually go beyond words to the experience. So more and more, you're gonna see me doing stuff that's an experience. I'd rather for people to have an experience in my class than to just have some more concepts to play with. I want to experience love. I want to experience safety. I want to experience that there's nothing to fear. I don't want to just read about it. I don't want to just hear about it. I don't want to just talk about it. I want to experience it. Anybody else want to experience it?
Yeah.
All right. So let's follow the instructions. It says also that it's strongly recommended, however, that you take a minute or so, whenever possible, to close your eyes, repeat the idea slowly to yourself several times. Okay, so let's close our eyes. And then we're going to say it slowly. There
is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear.
All right. Now, when you're upset and you're about to go off and say something crazy or cuss somebody out or feel all depressed or you're mad, it says it's very particularly important that you use the idea immediately should anything disturb your peace of mind. So as soon as I come up with one of those thoughts that upset me or make me worry, I got to go, there's nothing to fear. I'm having this thought. I'm not going to repress. I'm not going to pretend I'm not having this thought. But when this thought comes up, I'm going to tell myself, there is nothing to fear. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you are trusting in your own strength. The presence of fear is a sure sign that I'm trusting in my own strength separate from the Creator. The presence of fear is a sure sign I'm just trusting in my little separate strength all by myself alone. So the more afraid you are, the more you think you're by yourself having to deal with it on your own. The more afraid you are, and afraid means any lack of peace. If you feel a lack of peace about anything, that's the part of your life that you're handling on your own.
without the support of the universe. God, love. Wherever you're feeling fear is where you are being an atheist. Wherever you're feeling afraid is where you're in that moment being an atheist. And an atheist, from A Course in Miracles perspective, is someone who believes they are alone and on their own, handling something without the Creator. But all the atheists raise their hand. Because you sitting up here and you have no fear in any area of your life at all.
I think you lying.
But you're still cute, so you'll get away with it.
You're cute, you get away. It's pretty easy to get away with lying when you're cute. People don't care sometimes. They can just get to you. The thing about the Course in Miracles is that the Course in Miracles gets you out of denial. And that's why it's a challenge for a lot of people to study the Course in Miracles, because it's loving, it's gentle, it's powerful, but it's straight up. So it doesn't, it's not like, it doesn't have any fluff in it. Every sentence, you could spend a day on every sentence.
Like just that sentence we just heard, the presence of fear is a sure sign you're trusting in your own strength.
I used to love to think I was believing in my greater self and God, yet I was walking around weary, afraid, unhappy, and dissatisfied, but
full of faith.
I used to just lie like that to myself all the time. And all of a sudden the Course says, no, you need to realize the presence of your upset and your fear and your lack of peace means you're trying to handle this on your own. The awareness that there is nothing to fear shows that somewhere in your mind, but not necessarily in the place you recognize as yet, you have remembered God and you let God's strength take the place of your weakness. So wherever you don't feel afraid is where you are letting your real strength take the place of your weakness that comes from love, God, love, God, love, God. Same thing, love, God, love, God. Same thing, love, God. I like the word God. Even though I know I'm not talking about an individual sitting off in the sky somewhere. I like the idea of a higher power that's a part of me and I'm a part of it. But I can tune in too because it has a greater awareness than me and a greater awareness of love than me. So this is a rough class for people who don't like the word God. So you've got to transpose it in your mind until you change your mind. And I used to do it. I tell you, infinite all that is, the all that was, the will be one day, that was yesterday, the energy of the spirit that did it, and all these other terms when I was still having a problem with the word God because of the things I learned about God as a child. So I would have to substitute, and the Course does that. It has a modern language version, and then it has the Christian terminology version, and they're the same book. That's what I like about it. So what I do in my class a lot of times is I'll substitute the definitions of the word so that people can get another interpretation of what it's saying. And it's cool. But I always use the definitions the Course uses rather than making them up. So the instant you're willing to let the strength of what created you take the place of weakness, then you will not have anything to be afraid of. You will not have anything to be afraid of. As soon as you let the strength of God take the place of your weakness, you will not have any fear. Because you won't feel like it's all on you by yourself at the level of your ego to handle it. Could you imagine doing what I do for a living and not having any faith? I teach A Course in Miracles, which most people don't know nothing about, and the ones that do get mad at it and don't understand it sometimes, don't read it themselves because there's so much resistance, you know, on a love offering basis.
You must be crazy.
I know.
The reason why I'm not afraid is I'm remembering God, and I'm letting God's strength take the place of my weakness, and that's why I can stand up here and be peaceful. because I'm not dependent on Earl to come up with the ways for all of it to happen. I don't believe that you are the source of my good. I believe you are channels. It's like I'm a channel for you. The people change, but God's support never wavers for me, because everybody's not meant to be in my life any longer than they need to be and supposed to be to learn their lesson. So I let people come and go. But what I've seen, and what I've seen for 20 years next month, is that there's something invisible that loves me and sustains me and takes care of me no matter what, and who's in my life or who's not in my life, or whether people like me or don't like me or anything like that. But I would have never known that unless I stepped out following my heart to do my function and what really mattered to me, which is the love of the Course and the desire to share the Course. So I had to be willing to fulfill my function and trust what created me. And as a result, I get a chance to do what I want to do all day, every day, and have for the last 20 years. If that's crazy, then I'm insane. But before that, I was an executive at Bell South, with the expense account and the money and the car and all this stuff, and I was one of those first blacks. The first black that was hired as a telephone installation repair in Memphis, Tennessee. The first black in management at Bell South, responsible for keeping the phone service going in the entire city sometimes. And I was 26. Wow. So I was miserable. I'd walk in the I was more fun being a telephone installer repairman, you know, because I come to the door and I was 26 with them two bells hanging, it'd be a good time fixing phones. Come on in, telephone man. And I'm mad at my husband anyway. So fortunately, I was too sane to act on a lot of temptation. And I'm proud of myself. I thought I was crazy at the time. Now I see it was just ancient wisdom coming through earlier. Well, a couple of times I slipped. But I had been there, you know, years. So give me a break. And that's what we don't do. We don't focus on how we do it right much more than how we think we do it in a way that doesn't work for us. Because the part of us that doesn't love us, it focuses in on the thing that looks like it's not cool about us and magnifies that up to the extent that we don't even see how the vast majority of our expression is beautiful and powerful and loving and good. And I'm here to remind you of the part of your mind that another part of your mind is trying to hide from you. By making you feel guilty and afraid about the things in your life. So it's hiding a part of you that I'm here to represent and remind you of. Okay? For some of y'all, you know, you're just like those chicks getting ready to make that first solo leap out into it. It's like, you know, I had to, like, when I left all of that stuff because it wasn't moving my heart and it really wasn't what I really wanted to do in my heart, and I resigned. And, you know, and I had two young children and wife, and that's one of the reasons why I'm single now. Now, sometimes I couldn't see myself spending the rest of my life doing what I didn't want to do every day. I just couldn't see it. You know what I'm saying? It's like a part of me just knew that I had a greater purpose in life than what I was giving to myself, even though I was blessed to have that and I was grateful to have that, and I said I was grateful to have that. And there's not a conflict between being grateful and wanting to be in your right place. So just because I go, I want to move into what is my right place? My right place is the thing that I'm doing where I've noticed there's not a great presence of fear. Which means when I do this class, I'm not doing it by myself. I don't know what I'm going to say any more than you do. It's too scary doing it by yourself. So I'm here to root for those of you who feel like you want to live your life to the fullest, be true to yourself, let go of anger, guilt, grievances in the past, have right relationships, know your abundance, know that there's no lack in your life, get rid of the ideas of sin and guilt. And I like to say, there is no sin. Woo-hoo!
There is no sin. There is no sin. We make errors. Errors are for correction lovingly. So if you need to be a sinner, you're in the wrong class. It's for people who didn't buy into the fact that they were sinners. The people who didn't want to believe that they were guilty. The people who didn't want to believe that God is fear. The people who didn't want to believe that it's all about punishment and judgment. And there's a lot of those people in the Bible. They read the Bible, they get the love of the Bible and the truth of the Bible. It's just a matter of what your purpose is. If your purpose is to judge, then you're going to find a way to do it no matter what you study. I've met Course in Miracles students that judge the hell out of me. Or seen Course teachers that would judge me. But why? Because they want to judge. So if you want to judge, you can judge anything that you're studying and anything that you're using to judge. So my purpose is those of you who have this ancient memory of yourself, where you realize that you are more than a body, that this isn't all that is, that you know it isn't right to be in a place that it looks like you could lose where you love, what you love, and that you could suffer, and that you could be alone. Those of you who feel like we have more power than we've been taught, those of you who feel like, I don't think it's what I've been hearing, it just never felt right in my soul, those are the people I'm here for. Because I know I'm not the only one that felt that way. And I'm not the only one that feels that way. You know, I came here knowing racism was stupid, because you have to be completely unconscious to judge a person by their color, as opposed to listening to what they got to say and where they're coming from. So anybody that to me, that's just common sense. It has nothing to do with trying to be spiritual. It's just stupid. So why would I want to hook up with somebody that stupid? So if you were with somebody and they're like that, they're stupid. And so don't be surprised when they disappoint you in your relationship. They're stupid. They're not guilty, they're not sinful, and they're not bad. They're just ignorant. Okay, so there are areas of my life where I'm ignorant, and there are areas of my life where I'm stupid. But I'm not guilty, and I'm not bad, and I'm not unloved, and I'm not supported. I'm just ignorant in this area. And the area that I'm ignorant in is always going to be the area that I hurt myself in and the thing that I hurt myself through. So wherever you're hurting yourself, that's where you're ignorant. But you're not guilty and you're not bad. You're just unaware. And so when you give yourself that test, you may find that there's a lot of areas of your life that you're ignorant. But that doesn't mean you're guilty. And the minute you tell yourself, I'm ignorant in this area, then your mind's automatic correction principle kicks into motion. What is the mind's automatic correction principle? All of your life, you've been trained not to be ignorant and stupid. All your life, you've been told not to be ignorant and stupid. Is that right? Yeah. Is that right? Okay, so the minute you tell yourself, this is an area where I'm being ignorant and stupid, your mind automatically starts to try to correct the situation because you've already learned not to be ignorant and stupid. Mm-hmm. That's cool. But if you say, I know all, of course this is good for me, yes, at some point it is giving you a lesson, but if you say it's all right and every way is good and every direction works, first of all, you don't have time enough to try all of them, and then you'll make what you're going through all right. And you just keep suffering. But if you go, this is hurting me, I'm making myself hurt myself, so this is ignorant, your mind will go, I got to get out of this situation. I got to change this situation. Watch the language that you, in other words, use what you've learned to free yourself. Work with the way your mind already operates rather than trying to spend all your time trying to make your mind different. I love this. So what we're going to talk about now is the ego's use of guilt, how we use guilt, and what the purpose of guilt is. Now, is there anybody in here that feels like the world isn't quite right? Raise your hand. Okay. How many people in here, when they were even when they were a little child, they really had a sense that this wasn't their home.
God.
This wasn't your ultimate home. That you felt like it had to be something. Yeah. Okay. Good. 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 So how do you stay ignorant? The Course says the way that you stay ignorant is through the use of guilt. That guilt is the primary thing that we use to keep ourselves in ignorance and darkness and fear. So we're really talking about your guilty mind's use of guilt. That's what the ego stands for. Okay, so let's have fun with this, okay? The guilty mind's use of guilt. The first two paragraphs I covered Thursday, so I'm going to start with number three. And basically I'm going to start with paragraph two because I didn't finish all of it. On page 83. Okay. When the Course in Miracles uses Christian terminology like heaven, okay, if you read the book, you see in heaven, it says what? There is no guilt. Okay, so heaven is simply a state in which there is no guilt. And he says, because the kingdom, which the Course defines as joy, the kingdom is joy. So he says, because the joy is attained through the atonement which releases you to create. So what we need is the atonement. So what we need is what releases us to create. What do I need in my life? I need what releases me to create. And then the Course says, the word create is appropriate here because the once what you've made is undone by the Holy Spirit, the blessed residue is restored and therefore continues in creation. The once everything that you have done is what? Undone by love and truth. The blessed residue is restored and therefore continues in creation. There's a part of me that's full of fear. When that part of me has been transformed into love by the part of me that is love, then this fearful part of me can continue to extend in love. So the part of us that's afraid is the part that needs to be transformed and restored back to a state of peace and love so that it can continue in fear. So the part of me that's upset needs to be restored back to an awareness of my peace so I can still proceed in peace instead of being stuck in my anger. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. The Course is so simple that it is hard. Okay, so the Course then tells us what is truly blessed is incapable of giving rise to guilt and must give rise to joy. If you are really dealing with something in your life that's really, really blessed and you know it's the right thing in your heart for you and you know it's real, you can't feel guilty about it. So anything a person feels guilty about is something they think isn't blessed that they're doing. If it's blessed, it can't make me feel guilty. If the love I have with you is real, I can't be feeling guilty when I'm with you. I realized when I first read that there was a lot of stuff I wasn't seeing what was blessed. So instead of feeling guilty about that, in case all of a sudden you realize there ain't much blessed stuff happening in your life. Okay, what you should say then, well, this is the part of my life that's going to be restored by love so that it can continue to create in love and in peace. So what you're looking at when you're looking at the thing that makes you feel guilty, you're just looking at the thought that's going to be restored and transformed. It's almost like looking at your bank account and it's got zero in it. And they want to pay you to close your account. It's costing them more money just to have you as a person at the bank. And I've had those, you know, I've had extremes of financial prosperity in 20 years of doing the Course. In 1996, everything happened that I ever thought I wanted to happen on, every level I ever thought I wanted to happen on, from the physical to the spiritual. Every fantasy was fulfilled. Everything was happening the way I wanted to. There was nothing missing, and I lost my mind. Mm-hmm. It was too much. I, it brought up every ounce of hidden guilt and fears that I didn't think I had in me, because I had never had so many good things happen to me that looked like it was out of proportion to what I was doing to receive it. You know, it's like just good stuff happened. I'm like going, how would you? Because I was in that old thought system about earning and being good. So I had to see a relationship between what I've done to earn it for me to be able to accept it. And so it was coming out of proportion to what I was doing because I was being. And so therefore it brought up everything in me that felt like I was unworthy of receiving it. And then I sabotaged it. I just didn't do what I should have did, things I had no business doing, just sabotaging. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, some of you in the relationship, the best relationship ever, you just sabotage it. Because some part of you, the guilty mind, doesn't think that you deserve it. Because this is the way the old plan, the guilty plan works. I suffer and I suffer and I suffer and I suffer and I suffer, broken in two by a movie or two. And then I suffer and I suffer and I suffer and I suffer and I go out to a club. And I suffer and I suffer and I suffer and I suffer. Then I go on vacation. Right?
Yeah.
That's what we do, y'all. That's what we do. And you know, y'all know that's what we do, you know. And then when I suffer enough, I get to the point that I feel like, you know, I suffer so much, I deserve something to go right for me. Okay, then when something good happens, I go, I can accept it because look at what I've gone through. So your pain becomes the price you think you have to pay to have something good happen to you. That's the guilt system.
That's really stupid.
It's
stupid. That's stupid.
Exactly. The Course in Miracles says, I'm telling you, when you don't read this book, I'm just telling you, this book says stuff that in ways you've never heard it before. It might not be a different truth. It'll just be the way it says it. It's like somebody walking to you and going, well, for instance, y'all, you already had a little bit of that. Like, y'all already sitting up here going, damn!
And I could have been in the park!
Before I suffered some more. I could be out paying for my next good time. You know, you party really, really hard, have a great time, right? And then you overdo it, and then you suffer, right? And then the suffer is the price you pay for having the pleasure. The Course says we believe we must pay for pleasure with pain, which he calls coins of suffering. Like, that's the money. Okay, how much is going out with this person going to cost me if I do this? Oh, man, okay. This much suffering, huh? Yeah, you know better than this with her. All right. Cost you this much suffering. So a person that believes in the guilt and the earning system, check this out. The person that believes in the guilt and the earning system then subconsciously is repelled by people who are safe and prosperous and loving.
Yeah.
Because if you're with someone who only sees your innocence, how are you going to get the guilt that pays for your pleasure? That's why people who are into guilt and fear are not turned on by innocent, safe people.
Mm. That's what it is.
When I was guilty and no good and didn't even know it because I thought I was nice, you wouldn't believe how many women were attracted to me.
Uh-huh.
Now that I'm safe, I got a lot of friends. And it's been so peaceful. And so loving, I've been experiencing sides of women that I've never experienced before, because when there's no interest in being special, then there's nothing for them to get mad at you about. And so you always experience the best side of all the women in your life. So I'm having an entirely different relationship with women than I've ever had before. And the Holy Spirit told me in the Course, I underlined this and put it on tape and said it over and over again. He said, I will take care of your foolish needs and your real needs. But I will become your foolish need and I will become your real. I will take care, I will give you what you want as long as you think you need it, as long as you don't use it on behalf of lingering in time. In other words, if you're going to take what I give you to keep you in the illusion of the old thought system, I can't give it to you. But if you can have this experience and use it as a means to keep moving in the direction of truth and love, then I'll let you have it as long as you use it for awakening. I'm not going to keep providing it to you if you're just going to use it to deny me even more. That was the deal. And I said, okay, that sounds good to me. You know, all I got to do is dedicate everything that comes into my life to the cause of awakening and love and truth. And as long as I don't use it to go to sleep. Now, what would using it to go to sleep look like, Holy Spirit? Well, using it to go to sleep would look like anger, guilt, grievances, and attack. It would mean you're using that thing to feel guilty. You're using that thing to feel afraid. You're using that thing to argue. You're using that thing to believe in lack. If you're using that thing for that purpose, you're using it on the behalf of lingering in the old time. So whether or not I'm using something for delay or whether or not I'm using something to move forward is in direct proportion to how much peace I have with it. So then a special relationship could be moving me really fast ahead, or a special relationship could be slowing me down because I'm spending all my time processing. Let's talk about this. Now what you do? What you do? What you do? What you do? So you over there delaying in the good time train. y'all over there in the corner. Well, Our Creator is so loving, according to the Course. Don't say you ought to read it. It's incredible. It says, our Creator, according to the Course, is so loving that while you're over there going, then the other part of yourself called the Holy Spirit, which is the same part of you, which is the loving part of you, which all of us has. It's just giving up the love. Alright, so even while you're over there upset and weary and mad, your real self is still creating the love. So, whenever you get tired of delaying yourself, you've got all these gifts that were waiting for you that have been created by the part of you that never did stop loving. This is where you can tell whether or not people are fooling themselves about their metaphysical level of consciousness. Let me explain. Could I please explain? Alright. First, you should say, my spiritual belief that my thought is created is BS. And you will unlock all your gifts.
Yes, right.
Alright, let's say it together.
not the idea that I really believe my thought is created
is
just BS. Everybody don't have to say that. But the ones who want to go to the next level, what you say? The idea that my thought is created is just BS. Okay, now I'm going to tell you why. Because I think that most of the people in here would say that they believe their thought is effective and their thought is creative and their thought creates their reality. If they get their consciousness together, then their whole reality will manifest.
That's right?
People who think they think that, raise their hand.
Think
you believe that idea is all being created.
Oh, yes.
Alright, now, I just got through telling you that there's a part of you that loves you so much that never stopped loving you, that never lost sight of love, that's been creating in love all the time. You have been over in your fear of human mind, worrying about this, worrying about that, upset about this, upset about that, broken in two. But curious, what you think you're happy about something for a minute as long as it goes the way you want it to go, which is our definition of happiness. Everything's going the way I think it should. I'm happy. That's crappy. When you set yourself up like that, I feel sorry for you. If you think happiness is everything going the way you think it should go, and when it doesn't, and yet your perception is that it's the things outside of you that make you happy, and then you follow that with I want today to go the way I want it to go, don't you see the setup?
Yeah.
Because you know that your happiness should be something you can sustain regardless of what was going on the outside. It shouldn't be, your happiness shouldn't be resting on whether or not your husband said the dinner was great tonight, dear. Because all he has to do is never say it and you're always miserable.
What if you felt good about the dinner you cooked and you felt proud of what you were doing because you felt love within yourself? You wouldn't give a hoot whether he came in and said your dinner was good. And if he wasn't appreciating you, the universe would just move him out of your life anyway. Because the universe moves everything out of your life that you don't appreciate. You don't have to worry. Just don't appreciate stuff and see how long it stays around. That's not fear that I'm trying to put on you all. That's because when you don't appreciate something, you're saying, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't value it, I don't want it, and I'm a child of God who creates through my thought. Really? Well, you don't value it? No. Poof. And we'll make it look like somebody else took it from you. That way you don't have to take no responsibility for it, and you can feel justified in your grievance. So I don't want it, they took it, and I go, what'd you take that from me for? You haven't told the person you liked them in 6 weeks. But somebody else walk up and say, hey, I appreciate you, I love you, I adore you, I see your value. You freaking. What's crueler than not giving somebody love and appreciation and not wanting anybody else to do it either? That's worse than Hitler.
Stupid.
To me, that's the saddest. I'm not going to appreciate you. I'm not going to acknowledge you. I'm not going to let you see the thrill in my eyes from looking at you. Yet, you see somebody else giving you their attention, and I see somebody, and now all of a sudden I'm all upset and mad, and you know, so you can be with me who's not appreciating you. What's wrong with you? But see, I'm suffering with you so I can pay my debt, so I can feel good one day because of all the suffering I went through with you. So if you go, I won't have any way to make my suffering. Because it seems crazy to make myself suffer, so I try to set it up where I have relationships that it looks like the other person is making me suffer, so I won't see how crazy I am.
Could we get a little scream on the count of three?
And as soon as you see it that way, you'll meet the nicest people of each one of those colors. I am so glad that I'm not as stupid as I used to be.
Amen.
I feel like that's better than winning the lottery. I'm serious. The level of consciousness and interpretation that I have and the level of peace that I'm giving myself compared to what I used to, I wouldn't accept $1 billion in place of it. Don't forget this, y'all.
Oh my God.
If you want to get the Course in Miracles really, really quickly, the way to do it the fastest is to not try to believe it.
Yeah.
I think that's the easiest thing. I think that's easy. I think most people have a hard time believing it. So if you were told you didn't have to believe it, you know why you don't have to believe it? The thought is true. You only have to believe what's not true. For it to be, if I exist, I exist whether you all believe I exist or not. Your belief in my existence doesn't have anything to do with my existence. So if it's true, it's just true anyway. So if what I'm saying is true, it doesn't matter whether you believe it, because it's not like your belief in it makes it true. Like, it kind of reminds me, like, if I was going to go to college and I wanted to be a lawyer and they wanted me to take algebra and I hated algebra because I didn't like algebra, they're not going to take that out of the curriculum just because I don't like it. And that's the kind of way we are. It's like we pick and choose out of the curriculum. I like this out of the curriculum, but I don't like that out of the curriculum. And I used to go to all different kind of books, and then I'd pick out everything I liked out of each one of them, and then I'd make it into my own philosophy of life. But I conveniently left out all my issues. I conveniently left out all the stuff that's in my shadow that I needed to work with and take a look at. You see, because soon as something said something that affronted that part of me, then I didn't want to hear what it had to say. Like for instance, when he tells me stuff like, you know, if it's really blessed, you won't feel guilt about it, and it won't make you feel, you just feel joy. Or, like I was saying about the BS part, if we really believe that our thought is created, if we really believe our thought is created, which I hear so many New Age, New Thought, higher consciousness, cutting edge people say, then everything I say that was sided with your joy, your happiness, and your abundance coming to you easily, you'd be louder than me. Because you want to put energy behind that thought because you believe thought is created and you want to see that thought manifest. Whether you were thinking it and never said anything, or whether you joined me in my enthusiasm. But there's no way you believe thought is created and don't have any enthusiasm about thoughts of love. So what part of you would hear thoughts of love and not respond?
Yeah.
That's your ego. That's how you can tell when you're dealing with a person and you're dealing with the real person and when you're dealing with the unreal person. If you're dealing with the real person, they respond to love. Mm-hmm. They can't help it. If you're dealing with the unreal person, they say prudence. Mm-hmm. They got doubt. They have suspicion. They have no enthusiasm. So, at any given moment, I'm dealing with the real you and the unreal you, and you're dealing with the real me and the unreal me coming through the body, because the body is just a medium of communication for two parts of my consciousness, the loving part, the fearful part, both of them use my body in order to communicate, so I can't go by the body alone because the body is neutral. So I need to know how to tell the difference when the real person is talking to me, because their body is not going to show it. Their consciousness and communication is. So if I'm talking to somebody and they're coming from their ego, I know it. And all I do is try to remember the truth about them for them and remember that the good is going to get to them whether they think they deserve it or not. It's not important that I get into their ego with them. It's not important I get into your personality and your personality's beliefs and your personality's disbelief and your personality's agreements and your personality's unagreement. I don't care about that part of anybody in here. You don't have to believe what I say. But I'm going to side with your joy. I'm going to side with your happiness. I'm going to side with your peace, even when you don't have the enthusiasm about yourself to do it. Because that's what people do when they love you. They always go for the best part of you, no matter what you feel about yourself. They don't remind you of what's missing. They don't say, you're feeling really bad. They don't say, and did you forget about what you did on Christmas? See, the course teaches you how to tell the difference between love and fear. When you're dealing with a loving mind and when you're dealing with a fearful mind, so that you can have vision, and vision is knowing the consequences of your action before you take them, so therefore you would know what you were getting into before you ever got into it, and that's how you keep yourself from going through pain. You can see. I had big old eyes and I couldn't see. It's really funny when you think about it. You think eyes big as mine, I'd be seeing through walls. But I won't be able to have that power until I change my mind about the body.
Yeah.
So everybody got that? When you are delaying by the fear, by the guilt, by the anger, there's another part of you called the Holy Spirit, which is your loving self, that still creates love for you. So when you get through delaying yourself through the fear, you will have gifts waiting for you. And what we learn in here is basically how to get rid of the blocks to being willing to receive your gifts without sabotaging yourself.
Yeah.
is this class is not about making and earning and manifesting. Because that's still something you're going to have to do. That's why I'm not interested. Because it works. That's why I'm not interested. Not because it doesn't work, but because it does work. And if you manifest before you get rid of your guilt and your fear and your misperceptions about yourself, you just use the new things you made to make yourself miserable. It's just a new way for you to make you miserable. It's like your latest thing you're going to use to screw yourself up. And you call it your plan. Because if I don't love myself, no matter what I create, I'm gonna find a way to make myself miserable with it. So everybody is sitting up trying to think of new ways to deceive themselves. It's not the way to joy. You see what I mean? You got to have a consciousness of joy that you can take into the thing that you're manifesting. So I said, okay, universe, I've had enough of the manifesting stuff a while ago. Until Earl lets go of his anger, guilt, grievances, misperception in the past and get in touch with some love and the truth about himself, he does not need to be manifesting more people, more things, and all that stuff that was coming at me. It was like, eh! But you don't know that until you start to have the things manifest. As long as you're not having things manifest, you think you'll be different.
Well, if it happened to me, I could handle it.
You're not even handling nothing now. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not being straight up one. You know what I mean? If the mood you have in your life right now, you can't handle it with peace, what in the world makes you think you can handle 10 times as much? If I can't be happy with what I've already manifested, that means I'm not able to have joy with what I already have. Please tell me how having this much that what I have is going to make me handle that any better when I can't even appreciate the one person that cares about me. All of a sudden, I'm ready to appreciate thousands. Can we tell ourselves that kind of stupid stuff? Stupid and ignorant stuff. I can't even have one relationship that works, and I'm trying to have multi polyamorous open relationship with a million people.
Can we scream again?
I love it. So the court says something really cool. You can scream anytime. The court says there's no man in his right mind with man or woman screaming in joy. Okay. No.
I wasn't supposed to say that because I'm a minister, right?
Do not limit me with your concepts of what I'm supposed to be. And I won't limit you with my concepts about you. You're not here to act out my fantasies and to be what I want you to be in order to make me happy. I'm not here to act out what you think a person ought to act like in my position. That's freedom. Freedom is of the mind. It's not of the body. I used to think it was of the body.
I know.
It is not of the body at all. Because, you know, like the part of me from the Dillard said, you know, free your mind and your ass will follow. That's one of my sacred teachers told me that. You don't have to worry. Your body is going to follow your mind. You don't have to worry about that. It doesn't have any motive. Your body never gets turned on by anybody. Your body never gets attracted to anybody. Your body doesn't make any decisions about what you do or where you go. Your body would just as easily take you over a cliff as it would down to the movie. That's the way you direct it. It's not like you get ready to go to the movie and your body go, no, no. Your body follows your orders. 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 It's your mind that has to be free for your body to follow. But if I think I am my body, if I think I am this body, where do I go to for guidance? Everything that you experience in fear of guilt or separation that you think is passion and fun and pleasurable, that you think it would be a sacrifice to give up, when your mind is innocent, you can do all of those things and experience it at a level of joy and ecstasy and bliss beyond anything you've ever experienced when you were guilty. You don't lose anything. You just don't have the fear and the pain.
And then you have that experience. And you know how it is when you really have an experience. If you really do it right, if you really let yourself have it, if you really don't hold back, if you really don't feel guilty, and you let yourself have it, what do? You feel satisfied and you move on. Why are people stuck in the body consciousness? Because they've never once let themselves really enjoy their body, being in the body without guilt and fear. And your body will heal as you no longer attack it with your own fear and guilt and anger. Remember, your body follows your mind. And your body isn't just your physical body. Your body is your perception that you live in. So your body is your environment. Your body is your perception. You're living within the bubble of your own perception. That is your body.
I have to go now.
I know it's hard being told that no matter what you think about yourself, you can never lose eternal love. Why in the world would somebody want to hear that?
Write it to me.
The dot in the middle is you and your body, and you see yourself as being separate. The circle around. With the course, it's a possibility that somebody feels irritated with me. I ask people, who feels irritated? Because that's the ego. Think about it. Why would you be irritated because I say you're powerful? Why would you be irritated because I say you deserve love? Why would you be irritated because I say you deserve to fulfill your function and be free and do what you love? Think about that. There's no sanity behind anger with that. So what part of you would get irritated?
Your ego.
It would be the part of you that doesn't believe you deserve it. And that part that doesn't believe you deserve it, then it's the part of you that creates the things that upset you and bring you pain. That's where it comes from. It comes from the part of you that don't love you. It's not coming from nobody else. The other people just come to deliver the package you ordered. They're just your FedEx from God. You don't think you deserve to be treated right? I'll show up and don't treat you right. Because you ordered me. Remember? You ordered me last night when you said, I don't deserve to have anybody who loves me. Well, I don't love you and I'm here. I never get a job I really love. Well, here's the next one that you hate. Would you sign the application? Just as easily be, here's the one you would love, and here I am, the person who reflects that love back to you that you feel about yourself. You could just as easily have that FedEx show up. What's the quickest way to get there?
Let go of your guilt and fear.
Let go of your guilt and fear and include everybody else in their desire.
That's right.
Fastest way you get it. You go, I want everybody in my life to have that joy and have that peace and have that happiness. And you wouldn't hold nobody outside of that circle. Because you know, the more people you include, the faster your good is going to come to you. And since you don't know most people, you're way ahead of the game.
That's so big.
Yeah, you're down to like the last four or five people that you use to hurt yourself with. Those are the ones that are hardest to forgive. The ones that are most unforgivable are the ones that reflect the deepest level of my own sinfulness and guiltiness that I feel. Because if I really, really didn't like you, I certainly wouldn't let you make me hurt myself by keeping my grievance against you all the time. If my happiness is more important to me than that grievance, then I'll let it go so I can experience all the good that I deserve to have. Because I'm not going to let somebody I don't like block my good. That's really crazy.
Yeah. That's what.
You know what I'm saying? You haven't let yourself enjoy a date or a friendship or a relationship, and I don't know what, or whatever that relationship is, because of what somebody else did to you in the past who probably don't even know you even suffering about it because they're doing their own thing somewhere else. So who's suffering from your pain? Nobody but you. So let me get this right. You're going to punish yourself for the rest of your life for what somebody else did to you who don't even know you're suffering for it. I think you need to reconsider that premise. But in the meantime, surround yourself with compassionate beings that recognize that's just your call for love, and if at some level you don't feel worthy, so you're trying to block your good, so they're coming to your life to constantly remind you of your value while you gradually let go of this issue. And that's how you get rid of it. So this is you, this is your mind. Whatever you think in your mind, you are directing it toward you. See, we were taught the other way around, that your mind is inside your body. Your ego is inside your body. The part of you that thinks you're separate inside of your body. That's right. The part of me that thinks I'm separate does look like it's looking at you from inside my body. Does it look like that to you too? That you look separate from me and it looks like you're inside your body looking back at me? Okay, that's the ego. The truth is, all of this stuff is this right here. All of this stuff is this right here. Within your greater mind. Within your real self. And what you're thinking in your mind, you are directing to yourself. I don't really love myself the way I should, so I can't be trying to be positive and say loving things all the time. That'd be too much of a strain considering how I feel about myself. So I need help. Bam! That's the Holy Spirit in you and the Holy Spirit in me. We're the ones that remember the truth for you until you can remember it for yourself so that you can stop attacking yourself with your own mind because we love you. Thank you very much. Man, you know what I'm saying? So that's our real purpose, not to judge and analyze each other, but to remember the truth for each other when we forget it. And that's who I want in my life. People who will remind me of the beauty that I am instead of remind me of every error I've ever made that's upsetting them. I want love. I want the real deal. I'm tired of this phony stuff that I used to put out. You know, I don't want no more bargains. I don't want no more.
I love you. You don't do this and you don't know me. And you don't do that. And I don't make you that. And you don't do that.
Say, let's get a contract.
Let's just go to the lawyer and get a contract. This is not love. This is just a bargain. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Earl.
I appreciate those people that believe I have to eat like them. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Can you play some more John or not?
Yeah, I am in a minute.
All right.
If I have time.
Too short of an hour? Did you do that on purpose? Did you make
it
go fast?
Yeah.
How'd you get that song? You know, the truth is, for some people, it's been 3 months. And for some people, it's been like 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Too short, man.
You know, that's why I did the AMT yesterday. Thank those of you who came. I mean, it does me so much good. It'd be a cool thing to do. I know sometimes I really get kind of worked up. That's the Baptist preacher in me. But you know something? It's funny, though.
It's not really the Baptist preacher in me at all. That's just me. I'm not a quiet person all the time, and sometimes I'm real quiet.
I tend to be real quiet when I go out with somebody socially. So if you ever go out with me, it doesn't mean something's wrong with me because I'm quieter than I am here. Because that's the first thing people ask me, are you okay? Because they expect to see this. Yeah. You know, they expect to see this all the time. And the truth is, it's my time to listen. So when I'm with people, I want to listen to what they have to say so I can get the messages from God and the Holy Spirit that they have to offer me, which isn't going to happen if I'm talking all the time because I'm talking up here. So then this gives me a chance to have the people in my life reveal themselves to me. Because if you're not going to judge somebody, you have to ask them questions and listen. You know, unless I think I already know you, if I think I already got you all figured out, I'm never going to ask you what you think, what you feel, and what you're about. So if you're around somebody and they never ask you anything, they got you already figured out. And it's probably wrong. And the way you know that it's wrong is by how they treat you. Are they treating you with enthusiasm? Are they treating you with appreciation? Are they treating you as if you're a blessing to be? And then they're not seeing you correctly. They judge you to be something that you're not.
They're stupid.
They are stupid. Okay, so. All right, now, this is going to take about 2 or 3 minutes, and then you can go out into the
That's
right. That's right. To come and get the true
cake we got today.
Yeah. So I mean, that, this is a good deal. This is a good deal. I'd like to say something to you all. Thank you. 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 I'm on your side. I know you can do it. I believe in you.
Yeah.
It's easier sometimes for me to do it than for you to do it because I don't see the illusion that you're telling yourself, right?
Right.
Check this out. If it was real, then we'd all have to see it.
We all see it.
The only thing that we wouldn't be seeing, it must be something that's going on in your mind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Check that out. That's why you have to tell me about it. There's one thought you want to leave out of here with. You are entitled to miracles. You are entitled to states of abundance. You are entitled to miracles. You are entitled to states of abundance.
You are sinless. You are sinless. You are a child of God.
Next time.
Blessing in my life.